Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is. Oh, that is just not going to work at all. Oh, never accept a dare from Mark Walsh. Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. My name is Leslie Kaminoff, and you may know me as the co-author of the international bestseller, Yoga Anatomy. But I'm also the co-founder of yogaanatomy.net. Now, that's a platform we built 11 years ago where we offer online courses and in-depth anatomy modules that support teachers, teacher trainings, and students all over the world. So that's why we are thrilled to be sponsoring all the incredible sessions here on the Yoga Channel, including my own. And if you feel a connection with the way I teach, I have some great news for you. We are extending scholarships to all members of the Embodiment Conference. And you can find that scholarship info and links to yogaanatomy.net in the description for this presentation and in the show notes. In the meantime, enjoy your body, enjoy your breath, and enjoy your conference. And I'll see you online.
Now, Mark Bredner is here with us. We are very excited to welcome you, Mark, and I'm very curious to hear from you and all your journey. Mark is the Australia's longest-serving master teacher and yoga educator. His mission is to help people realize their personal power, inspired purpose, and peak potential. Mark discovered his unique talent for facilitating rapid personal growth during 45 years of yoga practice as a teacher trainer, group facilitator, and coach. Mark has trained over 1,200 teachers in a global business and coach elite athletes, both Olympians, pro surfers. He is an expert at uncovering and strengthening hidden drivers, cultivating focus and commitment, and supporting the realization of peak performance. Mark, the session is yours. I hand it over to you. We are with you. Take us there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Namaste, everyone. Currently, I'm on the screen, right? Not the PowerPoint.
That's right. I had to stop your share because of the sharing the video. So would you like to
Look, it's wonderful to
speak?
be here for the Embodiment Conference. We get such great opportunities at the moment to go online and share our gifts and talents globally and start to make shifts in consciousness and start to make shifts in humanity. And these two topics, yoga and money, we don't often see them as fitting together. But this time seems to be a time of individuals. It seems to be a time of the material. And just what if we were born at this time to be able to become an individual, understand our skills, understand our unique purpose, our gifts and talents, and to be able to master the material? What if that was actually the case? And then link it back around and serve and be of benefit to the collective, to humanity. And that's what we're really talking about, because when we look at these two areas, we break it down traditionally into spiritual and material. The spiritual is the invisible side of things, and the material is visible. And I've been a seeker all my life, and we would look at that as being the invisible side of things. So going a deep dive into who I am and trying to find a way to live a better life, to be the best version of myself. And traditionally, we saw that as the gurus and teachers like that, that took themselves out of life, that renounced life, they gave up relationships, they gave up fame, they gave up money. And it was like the ashram life. And so they did that at the expense of gathering in the material, being successful in the material. And then we have the other side, which is the material, where we're trying to get prestige, we're trying to get recognized, we're trying to climb a ladder, we're trying to make more money. But oftentimes that's seen at the expense of the spiritual, being spiritually bankrupt. But what if this time, right now, is to be able to combine those two together, to be able to go into a deep dive and go beyond the individual, go beyond our mind, our collective thoughts, and tap into insight and inspiration, tap into uncommon knowledge, and then bring that back into the material. It's pretty amazing. A lot of the modern gurus are doing that at the moment, and we're going to kind of look at that journey as we go along. So traditionally in the yoga model, I use the koshas to look at these two things, the spiritual and the material. So this map here is the koshas, and the kosha means a sheath or a veil. And I think we all have to admit that at some point we did not exist. We weren't there. And then 9 months later, we're this. So from a journey of 0 to 9 months, how does that happen? So from the yoga model, it looks at, we have this unified field at the center. Sometimes, and I put a question mark there often, because sometimes we call it the self, we can call it God. In yoga, we call it Brahman, sign, we call it the quantum field. You could call it Holy Spirit. Native American traditions call it Wonka Tonka, or the dreaming. It doesn't matter, whatever floats your boat, but there is a unified field underneath. So when we come into manifestation, the first thing that folds out here is this layer here. It's called Ananda Bliss, Ananda Maya Kosha. Maya means illusion because it's still a level of duality. It's not the whole picture. But Ananda, this is a very high vibrational state. What folds out first is universal intelligence of spirit. And it's very high vibrational. So when you're close to that state, then you have bliss, love, joy, equanimity. It's not like you feel that. It's just that you vibrate bliss. You vibrate joy. So when we see the yogis or highly evolved people, they're vibrating at that level. The next thing that happens is that that universal intelligence folds into the, what we call the Vigna Maya Kosha. So it folds into every cell of your body. So it holds the blueprint for your well-being, but more than that, it holds the blueprint for your genius. And we all have it. We all have our unique genius that we can bring into the world. But what happens is this next layer here, the mental emotional layer, we start to develop individuality based on what we're perceiving, what we're paying attention to, what thoughts we're attracted to, what thoughts we don't like. And when we put them all together, we call it me, we call it I, we call it my identity. What happens is that creates a barrier that blocks off our well-being, that blocks off our genius, that blocks off these five vibrational states and ultimately freedom. So the key to the whole yoga system is to have mastery of the mind, to reduce this veil of the mind. But once we have the mind there, then we have emotions that go with it. Then what happens is it reorganizes our energy system. Our body becomes a mirror of that. And then our outside world is a mirror that we are. It's the movie that we're playing. That if we don't like the movie, we have to access the unconscious. We have to access the mind. And the whole goal of yoga is to work on these outer three layers to optimize the body, to upgrade and activate the energy, to bring the mind to a single point to allow the unconscious to come forward. We're trying to thin the veil. And when we thin the veil, then we start to tap into our genius. We start to tap into our unique gifts and talents. And the idea is that when you do that and you can bring it into the world and you can package it and you can market it and you can message it and you can bring this uncommon knowledge, you kind of look like a genius. And when that happens, your value goes up. And when your value goes up, your profits come up. Same as your impact. So this is why I say yoga and money is the perfect combination. Because when you go into that deep dive and you understand this system, it doesn't have to be yoga, but any spiritual system that's trying to get all the ducks in line, the body, the energy system, the emotions and the mind, and get them all in line so you can tap into what's behind that. And when you do that and you do those systems, you start to recognize undeniably that it's just one unifying field. Again, science knows this, they call it the quantum field. And if you recognize that, then if you're making money, if you're having impact, why it's a great combination is because when you loop that back around into impact, you naturally want to do it out of service and benefit. So the first question I want to ask you, and you can put it in the chat there, is what are you most focused on at the moment, the inner game or the outer game? Are you doing that spiritual journey as a primary thing? Are you a seeker? You're deep diving into that? And you may have done that earlier in life, but currently at the moment, you're working on business, you're working on taking your insights and taking them out into the world. Kind of interested, just put in the chat box, in or outer, right? What are you focused on? And I'm just going to bring that chat up so I can see. Rochelle says inner, Christina outer, Denise outer. While we're just waiting for a few of those to come through, people ask me, why do you wear the patch? Have you got a pirate fetish? And no, I don't. But I got a surfboard through my eye. So the eye's gone and it paralyzed. Those sorts of things. Sometimes I wear my pirate patch. It's kind of, I can't read without it. Alistair Alder, Amanda, repeat the question. I'm asking you, Amanda, if you're more focused on the inner or outer game at the moment. Right? I like to call the material the outer game and the inner, the spiritual, the inner game. And it's learning to master those. Okay, so I'm just going to. Okay. So there's just another way of looking at it on the slide. I think you're seeing my screen now. But we're primarily working with that barrier. So the outside is what we would call physical, and it's measurable. Science can measure it. Inside of that, when you come to the intelligence, when you come to the bliss, when you come to the self, very high vibrational, and science, as of yet, can't measure it. So we call it the invisible. And I've just taken the circle and I've just put it out in flat layers. So what we're doing on the material in our yoga practice is we're using the asana, the pranayama, the kriyas, the meditation to work with the material to reshape it in a way that it's organized so that we can thin that veil. And when we thin the veil, we start to tap into the spiritual energies. And, you know, when we look at life, a lot of it is sort of 80-20, or they say, you know, the iceberg is only kind of one ninth at the front. When we look at it from a yoga perspective, most people get focused on the asanas, and that's cool. That's the lowest hanging fruit, it's what we see. But the biggest part of yoga is underneath. And that's where we really need to start, like the inner journey. When you want to be successful in life, when you want to make money, when you want to have impact, you've got to go on that inner journey. You've got to go beneath the surface and do all of that work. And when you look at the yogis and the journey that they did, they spent lots of years going on that deep dive. So that when they're out in the world now, it seems easy, right? Because they're tapped into something that we want. It seems mystical. Life starts to become magical. And we kind of wonder what it is. But it's available to all of us, but we have to do the inner journey. Because you can try and shape the outside, and people do that all the time. Most of us try and reorganize the outside to make it fit in a way that we can have more money, that we can get the things that we want, we can have the shiny objects. But it's a never-ending job, because when we set a goal on the outside, as soon as we get that goal, what do we want? We want more. We set another goal. When we get that, we set another goal. So the problem with that is that we don't want more, we want all. And when we set a goal on the outside, it's incremental. So what we're trying to do is, instead of ambition to make ourselves a little bit more wealthy, a little more sexy, a little higher up the ladder, we want to look at how can I take what I want and have that for everybody. So what we would call that is we call it a vision. So instead of ambition, what is the vision? So how can I, what I want for myself, want for everybody else? And we're going to do an exercise on that in a second. And this whole idea of the iceberg is to look at yoga as a life practice rather than a stretching program. And now if we've really kind of mapped out a 9-step process there to work with it. And we have the inner game, the outer game, and then a soul frame which bridges those two together. What we're going to work with today is we're going to work more on that inner game. And we'll look at this. Bias on how it's the vision. Who do I know I can be? How do I want to serve? What's the benefit I want to achieve in the world? What's the results that I want to achieve? Because if you don't feel like there's a place for you to expand, there's nowhere really to go. This is our job as humans to expand, to grow and evolve. And going on the inner journey first is the most essential part that's missing. Most people miss out on it. They don't go into the invisible. The next bit is once you set that vision, you have to have a practice that you can expand into it. And a lot of the practices in yoga are kind of random. They're kind of gimmicky. There's a lot of asana type practice. You know, I've spent 30 years going backwards and forwards to India. I work with two deep lineages, and we're going to work with a master practice. You know, a practice that you can do every day that can help you go beyond the mind. Because a lot of practice, even if we go deeper and work with the mind, a lot of it's mindfulness. And mindfulness is useful because it lowers stress, it brings you more into the presence, it slows everything down. But true yoga meditation goes a big step further. It takes you beyond the mind to tap into that greater intelligence. And what happens is you have that insight, inspiration, and intuition on constant stream. It's like you're on the Netflix channel of inspiration that's running 24/7. So what happens is once you go beyond the mind and open into that field, then you'll start to unlock your genius. So what science says is that our brain has access to 5% of what's possible, only 5%. They used to say 10%, now they've downgraded it to 5%. The yogis are less generous. They say 1% to 3%. So a brain can only focus on that much, and it's on loop. We just pay attention to what we pay attention to. So imagine if you could access even 5% more. What if you could access that and bring it back into the world? What would your life look like? What would you look like? It's true, you would look like a genius, literally. What if you could access 10% of that? Amazing. And you know what else science says? It says that an atom, everything is made of atoms, and an atom is 99.9999% empty. Now we're made of atoms. So what does that say about us? We're 99.99% empty. There's a whole potential and possibility there, a field. And guess what the mind can only pay attention to? Exclusively. It can only pay attention to that 0.1%. It's extraordinary, yeah? So the whole yogic science is designed to go beyond the mind so you can tap into that 99.9%. So the science would call it dark matter or dark energy or the quantum field. Yoga would call it Brahman, some would call it God. It doesn't really matter. But there's so much more that's available to us. And this is the incredible gift of yoga, right? True yoga, the science of it, of going deep into the inner game so that you can access so much more. Right? The soul frame part of it is then taking that information and packaging your knowledge, your skill sets, your unique gifts and talents, your superpowers, and bringing them into the world. And then the outer game is learning to take that out into the business world. We do all of this in our work, but we're focusing more here. So that lower level, we're going to do a practice now on creating a higher possibility, then look at a master practice, and then how we can take our insights and start to bridge them into the world. So that from our bigger understanding, we can start to have an impact, we can serve at a higher level, our value goes up, we become magnetizing, money goes up, and then you loop it back around. Sound fair? Just put in the chat box if that sounds fair, if that works for you. Yep. Yes. Yes. There, glasses. Yep, sounds great. All right. So what we're doing today is we're going to set a direction, then look at a practice of expanding into that, and then how we can take our insights and start to shape them out into the world, right? In a beginning way. I mean, how much can you do in 50 minutes? Now, what I'm going to working on is just working at strategy. So theory, we've created a resource for you where you can do all the theory work later. And okay, so at the end, we'll give you a link. And with that link here, we'll give you the PowerPoint slides. We'll give you the practice video, right, with the theory of how to do the practice. Really powerful. See, these practices, Kriya Yoga, they're the quickest way to start to rechannel and shift your consciousness. And if you do these things and you do them regularly, life can change very quickly. It's super powerful. But here's the kicker. These practices work underneath the surface on the bigger part of the iceberg. They're quite deep. So the effects are subtle. And when they're subtle, we don't notice it straight away. So we don't notice my hamstrings getting longer or being able to put my foot behind my head. It's much more refined than that. It's much slower. You're working directly on the consciousness. Within the practice, we give you, you know, a 10-minute practice, 8-10-minute practice on preparing the body first, then on how to prepare your energy system, and then how to draw your consciousness back in, channel it back up to this point, and then learn to go beyond the mind. It takes about 66 days on average to develop a skill. But I can guarantee you, if you do the practice each day, you will notice a shift in consciousness. It's extraordinary, right? What the yogi set out for us. Then we have a workflow exercise, and that's about taking your insight and then shaping it. Workflow is a free program. You get the free program, and then you'll have a link from me. It'll open Workflow for you. I'll show it to you, and then you can start designing that for yourself. And the other part of it is this dream world process that we're going to do right now about creating a vision in the world of who we want to be in the world. So here, this is the inside circle. This is Vigna Maya Kosha and Ananda Maya Kosha. So I use the words bliss and intuition. And when you work in that inner part of the circle, these are the things that you're most aligned with that you love. And when you love something, you get devoted to it. And when you're devoted to it, you don't have to teach someone to be focused. Right? If you fall in love with someone, I don't have to tell you to focus on that person. Right? You're thinking about them all the time. So when you're doing something that you love, it becomes easy. It becomes easy to get focused. And when you get focused, then results are assured. Right? It's taking you along the path. So I want to ask you, what are four things that represent you following your bliss? For me, yoga, surfing, education, and spirituality/transformation. Now, I live in Bali with my partner, and I've got those things on tap. Bali is a very spiritual place. Surfing like crazy. Yoga, all my work is online now. We've developed it that way. All the education. So I have all those things, and it's a purposely built direction to follow my bliss. Am I in it all of the time? Do I create it all of the time? No. But a big part of it is purposeful of what we have created. So in the chat, what I would like you to do is just list down two things that would represent you following your bliss. Later on, you can do it in here. And actually, this document that I'm giving you is a live PDF, so you can write them straight into the document. Make life easier. So I have to keep switching between the share. Chat. Just listing two things that would represent you following your bliss. And when you do write those things down later, following your bliss, yoga, surfing, education, spirituality, why would you not have those things primary in your life? Why would you not be doing the things that you love most of the time? Because it's definitely part of the formula of success. Because when you're developing skills and habits and doing the practices, if you're not devoted to it, you won't develop those skills. If you don't love it, you won't develop the skills that are necessary for you to be proficient in it and be successful, have an impact, increase your income. Rochelle, yoga, dance, and singing. Christina, yoga and nature. Alistair, nature and well-being. Arajana, somatic psychotherapy, yoga, kite surfing. I like all those. I'm a somatic psychotherapist, by the way. Well, I used to be. I used to do 5 years. I had private practice for 5 years. Nature and adventure, Amanda. Denise, nature riding, yoga. Lots of nature in there. It's one of the beauties of Bali too. We're in it's an incredible, beautiful place. You know, one of the reasons why Bali is so beautiful is because it's like no other place. Every morning, everyone's out there consecrating a little altar. They consecrate the T intersections of roads. They do it on their cars. They do it at the beginning of their houses. And they do it with devotion, and everybody's doing it. And when you consecrate something, it starts to make it sacred. And when you make everything sacred, it starts to become beautiful. And that's why the architecture is beautiful, the food is beautiful, the people are beautiful. I'm generalizing, but generally, because of that, there's so much beauty. Nature and adventure, movement, healing, and stage, Beatrice, Niti, yoga, nature and music. Cool, thank you. All right. So again, later on, you've got the resource to expand into that. The next thing is, this is a little more challenging for most, is, you know, what is the vision? We talked about it earlier. Most people do the personal ambition, and often ambition is destructive because I want what I want and to the exclusion of anyone or anything else. And ambition, whether it's a person or a corporation, is what becomes destructive to, you know, people, to health, to the environment, all these sort of things. So what I want for me, how can I have that for others? So if I want to be comfortable in my finances, if I want to live in a beautiful place, if I want to surf, if I want to have love and intimacy and a great connection with my friends and family, if I want to have impact, if I want to have relevance, I ask myself the question, how can I have that for everybody? How can I transpose that in what I do so that everybody can have that? Right? Because that comes from the inner game. So my focus is on yoga teachers. And what I have in my vision is for properly educated yoga teachers to make a living from what they love, to follow their passion and make their business by being at the leading edge of health, well-being and transformation on the planet. And I truly feel that yoga, the system of it, properly educated, the full system, when a lot of people have that, they will be at that tipping point of health, well-being and on the planet. So if you'd like to have a go, I'll just give you 2 minutes to write a vision in the chat box there. That'd be fantastic. Now, some people have a good inkling of that. Some, it's a distant spark out in the dark there, but it's there. Right? So what is that? Who do you want to be? What is the result that you'd want to generate? How do you want to serve? Right? What is that? What is your vision? It's important because this is all about creating a direction. Just give you 2 minutes. So if we get any down, that would be great. If not, we'll move on because we have time restrictions. You know, when we're doing the inner circle, what we're doing is that we are creating our Dharma. We are creating our path. We're consciously creating our Dharma, which is translates to path, so that it starts to direct the outside. It starts to direct our karma. So this is what Sadhguru would call having your Dharma before your karma. So we like to say Dharma before drama, right? So what happens is you get the inside to direct the outside. Rather than being pushed and pulled around by circumstances in life, you create a dream world container. This is what we call it, dream world container. And that whatever you do in life, whatever unfolds in front of you, you do your best to bring it in alignment with the life that you choose, the values that you have, how you want to feel, what your vision is, living in alignment with your bliss. Let's have a look. Rochelle, helping youth to empower themselves through yoga, cooking and tasting vegan food, singing and dancing for an audience. Awesome.
That's fun.
We've got a mic that's open. If someone could just turn off their mic. Christina, my vision is to support women aligned to their true nature so they live with more power, passion, purpose. Beautiful. Alistair, a sacred life connected to awe and transcendence, full of surfing, nature and vitality that supports my family and community, made possible through a location independent, abundant lifestyle. Awesome. Denise, to help empower women to get in touch with their bodies through movement so they can live with peace and love for their bodies. Yeah, super important. That's a super important starting place. Love the body that you're in, love the vehicle that you're in. All right, next step here is, very quickly, okay, so I added another layer on here. So with the bliss, what is it that you primarily want to feel most of the time? If you could just write one or two things. So my feelings are, I want to feel radiant, I want to feel love, I want to feel free of limitation, and I want to feel powerfully engaged and creative. And at any time, if I'm not feeling those things, or I notice that I'm caught in another direction, then I start to bring myself back and I start to look at it. You know, am I living in alignment with my vision? Where am I getting stuck here? What do I need to do? And how do I bring myself back into alignment with those things? So you can just write one feeling there. That would be wonderful, one or two. And then the other one is, what are your values? So what do you value? If you're not quite sure about that, then think about someone that you really admire and what do you value about them? So my values are inclusion, courage, authenticity, and compassion. So when I work with anyone, or if I have a partnership, I'm always asking myself, are they aligned with my vision? Are they aligned with my values? Are they aligned with how I feel? Is this part of my bliss? And if at least three of those aren't there, then I just don't go in that direction. Because if I do, which I've done before, it ends in tears. It's funny putting my glasses on and the patch at the same time. Okay, so Rochelle, lightful, joyful, adventurous. Amanda, excited, curious, wonder, creative. Alistair, expansive, free-flowing, grounded. Values, family, courage, truth, courage, authenticity, compassion, joy. All right, nice. Thank you. All right. So when we start to look at that, is we have this dream well container. You know, this is my vision. This is how I want to feel most of the time. These are my values. This is following my bliss. So there's kind of a where we are now and who we want to be. So then the question is, how do we bridge that gap? Now, whatever your practice is, the inner game practice, whether it's yoga or Zen or meditation or Sufi dancing, whatever it is, how are you going to close the gap? Because whenever we view life, right, there's a trigger that goes to a feeling that opens you to a certain reality. And then there's a gap, there's a vision of who I want to be. So how do I close from A to B? And what's in the way? What are the obstacles? Right? What do I need to do to close that gap? So what is preventing you from feeling the way that you want to feel? What is preventing you from having that vision and taking you to the world? What is preventing you from following your bliss? So this outer layer, the red and the green circles, in the resource that I gave you, you start to write in all the beliefs that you have, all the limiting beliefs, right, that prevent you tapping into this inner circle, to tapping into the spiritual, to tapping into the invisible, into your genius, into your superpowers. What's in the way? It's very important to understand what that is. Now, that circle can get really big. There can be a lot of those things, and you can build it over time. But what happens is, once you start listing those things, you go, suddenly, like, wow, this is amazing what I've built in the way. And then we need practice. So I put this picture in here because at one point I was going to renounce. And because what happened was, I was the most knowledgeable in my field and I'd done all the inner game work. And then I wanted to share all that information, but no one seemed to be interested. And I thought, well, if no one's interested, if no one wants to do the higher practices, then I'm just going to renounce. But when I came back to it and looked at the Dream Wild container, the reality was that I wasn't willing to step up. I wasn't willing to stand in my authority, to have a voice, to speak about, you know, the industry and what I thought were the limitations. I wasn't willing to do the work to package and market myself in a way. And when I really sat with that, I decided, well, that wasn't really the way to go, that I need to be in the world. And so I put both feet being back in the world, but I doubled down on my practice because the idea is, when I was doing this practice, it was giving me superpowers. Right? I was really, and in yoga, they call it the cities. And really the cities are kind of weird if you look at it in the text. They seem like, well, it's really the quantum field stuff, but it's much simpler than that. Magic starts to happen in your life and the right people come into your life, the right circumstances, the right answers, the money comes, all those things start to happen once you start to align to that field beyond the mind. So what I'd like you to do in the chat is, what's one of your superpowers, or what is your superpower? Just put it in the chat there. One of my superpowers is I can take complex information and model it down into a simple way that people can understand it. You know, what I've done is I've taken a lot of the yogic science and we've created frameworks and processes and procedures that make it easy to understand. What's one of your superpowers? Rochelle, I don't know. I think oftentimes we do know what it is, but we don't give ourselves permission to earn it. And a superpower may not be what you think it is, because sometimes we do things that are quite incredible, but it's normal to us. So we don't see it as anything big. But if you ask your friends, they'll go, wow, I wish I could do this thing that you do. You do it so well. And our standard answer is, yeah, but that's just me. So think about it in that way as well. connecting disparate ideas, supporting people through transformation, guidance, space holder, Beatrice, relating love for sharing, endurance, dedication, Denise, reaching out through my writing, Ray, connecting with others through heart-centered presence, Alistair, empathy, sensitivity, and intuitive communication. All right. So these things need to be shared in the world, obviously. So how do we tap into it in a bigger way? And here's where we start to look at. Okay. What is it that we need to practice? Now you'll see the inner circle here that we've just been doing. Then we have the mind, energy, and body. There's many, 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 many practices that you can do to get that into alignment. But the thing is, when we do that 9-month journey from zero to hero to this, it didn't come with a user's guide, it didn't come with a manual. So we just try to do our best, right? This is, as Sadhguru would say, this is the most sophisticated piece of machinery on the planet, in the universe. But we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use it in its most effective way. So yogis, they give us texts, they gave us manuals on how to do that. And when you can decipher them, it becomes very powerful, because once you can get the body, energy, emotions, and mind in alignment, then we start tapping into this whole thing and ultimately our superpowers, and then being able to take them into the world. So I've given you a practice called Ishtakriya, and it's about unlocking your genius. And there's an audio in there. There's a 37-minute video that explains every section of it. It's not a hard practice, but you need to understand why you're doing what you're doing. I think as Western mind, generally, if we're not told why we're doing it or what it's doing, we don't do it. So the video explains that. And there's also a short movement practice if you want to do that beforehand. But basically, what we're doing is we're looking at this top layer as the causal, and then we have the subtle, and then we have the physical. And when we go from Brahman, which is singularity, we're trying to go back to a state of yoga, the first thing that downloads there is your Atma, your individual spirit. We create a separate I. In yoga, we call that Ahamkara. We need a separate I to evolve. We need a separate I to survive. Then what initiates the Atma to separate the drop, to separate from the ocean, is the karma. And then you have this universal intelligence. Now, to get all of that into your physical body, you need an interface system. So here you have your four main nadis. You have this left and right nostril, the blue and the pink channel, and they fuel duality. See, because your mind can only work by recognizing opposites. What the mind does is it divides everything. The human intellect divides everything between this and that, you and me, mine, theirs. So when you balance these two channels, what happens is that the mind kind of goes into a neutral gear. It goes into a daydream. And then our consciousness starts to draw back in and centralize back into the spine. In yoga, we would call that Sushumna Nadi. Then into Brahma Nadi, which connects back into this Brahman up here. And then we want to take that and centralize our attention here for 18 minutes. There's a whole process that we explain. And this is the stage where you can learn to go still the mind and learn to go beyond it. So all this does, this subtle phase here, is it allows this to interface down into the physical body. Okay? Now we can, it's a big subject, but we can simplify it, and we don't have the time now. Okay? So I just wanted to explain it to you here. And then I don't want to waste all the time doing theory. So we're giving you the practice to go through. Fair enough, makes sense. All right. Now the last part of it is, if you do that practice, you set a vision, right, a dream world container of how you want to influence the outside, set your dharma to influence your karma, and then you start to tap in, right? You start getting insight, you start getting inspiration. Well, how do you take that out into the world? And I like this idea of, you know, Yogananda, the famous Paramahansa Yogananda. And in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, he talked about other beings, and people talked about him as well, being able to be in two places at once. And they had documented proof of that. That's a superpower for sure. But it got me thinking, imagine if you could be two places at once. Imagine the impact you could have. And what if you could be at many places at once? Right? That's what we would call omnipresence. Well, actually, it's possible these days. And so when we look at the modern gurus, they've actually mastered the inner game, created a message around that, or branded around that, and they've taken it into the outer game. So when you look at someone like Ram Dev or Sadhguru, these guys are incredible beings. If you look at Hugging Amma, right, the Hugging Mother, her practice is to travel around the world hugging people. Right? But these have incredible networks. And so when they share any message, all they do is they film it and they put it through multimedia, through all the social media platforms, blogs, posts, podcasts, everything. And this is the modern guru, to get your message out there and impact many, many people. And because the message is such high level, many, many people are drawn to it. So these guys have millions of dollars in the coffers. Are they is that what they're focusing on? No, they're focusing on impact. If you look at my guru, he's a very simple man, white robe, no shoes, lives in a very humble place, but he's feeding thousands of people every day, building schools, building hospitals. How do they do that? You can't do it without money. Right? You need the money to have the impact. But when you do it from the inner game first, the money is about serving. It's about humanity. It's about the collective. So the cool way is that we get to do it these days by just simply putting a camera in front of ourselves and then being able to share it in many, many different ways. Amazing, huh? So the last bit that I want to do is, this is my Guruji here. This is my mum. She was one of the first teachers in Australia. And Empo Rinpoche, that you saw me before with my shaved head. And Sadhguru for Himalayan Master Tradition. This is Al from Ishta Tradition. They're my main teachers. Plus also with the business, I learn off business gurus, the same, who are the best in their fields, and go and learn off those guys. And then that allows me to, and my students, teach in many, many niches. You know, I've traveled and worked on the Pro Surf Tour. I've worked, you know, with Ian Thorpe and those guys, traveled with those guys before Athens Olympics. I've taught monks in the Himalayas, worked in India a lot. But you can transfer your superpowers and your gifts and talents in so many areas. So who do you want to serve? What's the result that you want to do? And so the last bit we're going to do is this one here. Alistair, can you just put your hand up if you're seeing the work flowing? Cool. He put his hand up. So this is the guru off the map. Again, free program, work flowy. Just upload it. And then from there, you can, what all you do is it'll come, it's non-editable, but you can copy the whole thing, Command C, and then open it further down on your page, and you'll be able to edit it. Yep.
You want to open up the workflow. We're not seeing the screen share of the workflow.
Okay. So I'll stop share. Screen share. Share.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So we create this vision. We do a practice, whatever the practice is, to expand into it, to get all the outside, the outer game in alignment. Thin the veil of the mind, start to tap in and unlock your genius, start to connect into your gifts and talents. What are you here to do? We've all got a role to do in the evolution of the collective. Our role as a human being is to evolve, but we also play a part in the evolution of the collective. And when you tap into that, life becomes wonderful. It becomes a joyous ride. Easy? No, not necessarily. But joy, the feeling of impact and making a difference, incredible. And in the process of that, the finances come along. We talked about Hugging Amma before. When the tsunami went through her village, you know, 10 years ago, she donated multi-millions of dollars to her local area. Where does that come from? It's sitting there. It's just because when you serve, it's magnetizing, people are drawn to it. It's a different model, it's through donation. We don't have that model here, it's just different. I liked when Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, when they asked him about getting money, he says, I don't care where the money comes from, just give me as much money as you like, because I'm going to take it and I'm going to build conservation parks. I'm going to look after the wildlife. But that's the same energy you want to have as a spiritual entrepreneur. Like, how do you take it out? Take whatever the money is and fold it back into serving others. So this is the start off place, right? What I want you to do is, whatever the way you're going to serve, two questions. What do you increase when you're providing a service for your audience? Who is your audience and what is the result that you generate? From there is, what do you increase? This one for me is related to, I think, my meditation practice, personal power, self-worth, inner fulfillment, energy, relaxation, etc. What do I decrease? Imposter syndrome, doubt, negative mental patterns, tech overwhelm. You need to understand, you know, what do you provide and what do you start to take away? And then what is the bleeding neck problem? What's the main thing that you are helping solve? I used to think it was revenue for my audience, but now I realize it's about confidence. So I'm talking about that thing all the time, the confidence to tap into the higher practice, the higher levels, the confidence to be able to package your message, the confidence to be able to take that out into the business world, to create funnels, to market, to do Facebook ads, etc. Then what is your soul message? Which is really this part here. Okay. And that soul message is how to achieve X in Y without C. How to achieve what they want in a certain time frame without the thing they hate. So the future of yoga is a unique platform that helps motivated yoga teachers and spiritually minded entrepreneurs stand out and explode their business online with confidence by creating best-selling virtual events in 6 months with less confusion, frustration, and business guru BS. Then you need to know the people that you're working with, what are their main struggles? In my case, tech overwhelm, stress, imposter syndrome, and how to stand out. 3 or 4 is enough. And when you saw on my model before, a good way to do that is looking at 3 pillars that each has 3 steps. Right? Because what this does is it gives you a roadmap. And it's like this roadmap here. This roadmap is you getting from A to B, whatever it is. How do you go from A to B? This is for meditation. You have to understand the science, you've got to apply the practices to yourself, and then you've got to be able to teach them through service. There's a roadmap, there's 9 steps. So this here, when you have a look at it, is I've got my 3 pillars, this is for a different program, and then I've got my steps along the way. Because whenever you're taking someone, whenever you create a vision, whenever you create a direction, people need to know there's a roadmap. When they can see a roadmap, they feel like you've got the solution. Right? But it has to be a bleeding neck problem. It has to be a big issue that they're dealing with. But to get to this point here, you have to solve the 9 smaller problems. Now you can make this 7, you can make it 5. I just like the 9.
Mark, I'm sorry. I would have to interrupt you because we are getting really to the... we have 2-3 minutes left just to say bye and to... can I? You would like to bring it to the end?
Okay, give me 30 seconds. Okay, so that's there. And Chica, can you type in that? So the last bit is here. Can you type it in the chat? Oh, so in the chat is the link to the resources. So if you click on that, you can get those resources, how to set your dream mile container, the practice that you need to expand into, and how you can take your insights and start to narrow them down into your perfect audience to get a result. Namaste.
Namaste, Mark. Thank you so much. It's an amazing journey, and it opens possibilities and way to really bridge the understanding of quantum field and the understanding of how we bring it in our life. I think it's very enlightening, this inner world and outer world. I will definitely want to continue that inquisition for myself and the vision as well, the understanding of having a vision. Thank you so much to give us and bring us to all these amazing tools. For everyone, please, we have posted now the links to get in touch with Mark Brenner if you want to go further and know more on that path. I will take the suggestion and the offer to purchase everyone who would like to. In the overwhelming beautiful sessions we have and the speakers we have, you would like to purchase the videos and have a library, create a library of all our sessions. You can upgrade for that on your portal. You can upgrade your status and you will have around 1,000 videos on different channels for lifetime. It's also a very thank you to Mark and everyone in the conference who are putting this together for bringing embodiment to a large number of people, and so it will be really appreciated. And if you can't, you can bring it to friends as well and suggest to do that. That's it. I want to wish you a great day, everyone, and we have an exhibition in 2 hours on the Yoga Channel, which is on a prison yoga project, Freedom for the Inside, from the Inside, Freedom from the Inside, in the next session. And Mark, we always finish, we'll gather all the tips of all our presenters in the conference. What would be your top tip to stay embodied?
Focus on the inner game. You know, focus on the inner game primary, go below the surface, do the bigger part of the iceberg. That's where the magic is. And then once you start to do that, whatever your practice is, then start to take those insights and bring them into the world.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
I'd also say, everyone, there's lots of incredible speakers out there. We've been watching some of them, and you know, like getting one of those packages is amazing, because then later on you can select and you can go through and the people that you want to go back over the information over and over again. So really consider that, because there's some amazing beings there giving their knowledge.
Thank you so much, Mark.